The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kitzur Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzur365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Moshe Hillel Kaufman.
Baruch haba, we're doing Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Simen Samach Gimel, Sifam Aleph Duhei. Sif Aleph. Kishem Shaina Asur B'mekachu Memker. Just like we learned that Aina, charging above or below the market price by a sixth or more, or perhaps less than that even, knowingly, is Asur when it comes to buying and selling. Kach Asur Aina B'dvarim. So too, to afflict somebody and cause him pain with your words is also asur. Shenemar, because it says in the pasuk, "Lo yisanu ish es amisoi," person should not cause pain one to his friend. V'yoreisam elokecha. Zu einaz dvarim. This refers to einaz dvarim, causing someone pain through your words. Ugdayla einaz dvarim einaz mamain. And einaz of words is worse than einaz of money. Why? Shezeh nitam lihishavin, because money you can always return. But you can't take away the pain once it was inflicted. You can't give it back. Because when you do an aveira of anas mamon, it's with your money. However, when you cause someone harm and pain with your words, you're doing the aveira with your body itself. And someone who cries out because he is being afflicted verbally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers him immediately. It's a punishment. Comes quicker and swifter. But Sahli Zabi Yasim and Nas Ishtai, a person has to be extra careful not to cause his wife any pain verbally. Shalilit Sarah Bidvarim, not to cause her any pain verbally. Lafisha Isha Racha Bativa, because a woman by nature is soft and fragile, more than a man. The Al Samuad Huibocha, and because of a little pain she'll come to tears. They say just because the lady comes to tears, it doesn't mean that she's more that she's feeling less pain than a man. She's feeling the same pain as if a man would come to tears, just that she feels the pain faster and more acute. Hashem Yisbarach makbid al tmais, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is makbid on tears of people who are being pained. V'shari dimalei ninalu, and the gates of tears are not locked, meaning if someone cries in tears because he's suffering because of somebody else. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to that tefillah, and a punishment is swifter in the coming. Sif Beis. Ketzer hu hi einaz dvarim. What's einaz dvarim? Lo yoyma lechaveru bekama taroitz litin chayfet zeh. You should not ask your friend, how much do you want to sell this item for? V'hu einu roitz liknaiso. And you're not interested in buying it. You're just asking him, giving him a surge, thinking that perhaps he has a customer. And then you're letting him down. So, for example, let's say you already have a treadmill in your house. You bought one the other week, and now you're walking by Common's exercise equipment store, and you see the same model that you just bought the other week. You see that in the window, and you're curious how much it costs. Now, you can't return your treadmill. It's non-returnable. And, of course, you never get a second one. Halavai, you should end up using the first one. But you're really curious to find out what kind of deal you got. So can you come in to the store and ask Kalman and say, well, how much is that treadmill for? And he's going to tell you all about it and tell you what the price is. And then you tell him, oh, no, I was just curious. Thank you. I just wanted to know what it would cost here, because I already bought it somewhere else last week. I wanted to know if I got a good deal or not. So in such a situation, all you did was cause common pain. You gave him the surge, thinking that perhaps he had a customer who would buy something, and you let him down. There was no chance that you were going to buy something. So sometimes people ask, well, am I allowed to go browsing in a store, because I have no intent to buy anything. I'm just looking around. So that's okay, because again, when you go browsing in the store, there's a chance that you may buy something. They want you to browse in the store. You don't have to go to a store thinking, "Hinini mochanu mezumen," that I'm going to buy something. There just has to be a chance for something to be purchased. If there's no chance that you're going to purchase anything, and the owner is going to see you looking it over, and you're going to ask them how much it costs, so then that's something that you're causing him a letdown, and there was no possibility of any upside for him. So that we say he's not Michael. But if there's a possibility that he might make a sale, not everyone who comes in and asks for the price ends up being a buyer. That they understand, and that they're Michael on. So it's very common people ask, well, you know, they need to buy, let's say, a set of bedroom furniture, and they go to 10 furniture stores, and they ask each one the price. So can they do that? Well, even though in the end there's going to be 9 unhappy furniture salesmen, because they're only going to buy one set. But that's okay, because each furniture salesperson had a chance and the ability to make a sale. He didn't win in the end, but there, it wasn't a situation where there was no chance for them to make a sale, and it was just going to cause them pain. Okay, continuing on. Ha'ya'echad mevakesh liknais tfuah. If someone was looking to buy wheat, lo yoimalo, you should not tell that purchaser, lechetzel plani, go look and find your wheat to buy at so-and-so's place. And you know that person doesn't have wheat to sell. You just sent this person on a wild goose chase as a joke. So that's something that is oinos dvarim is awesome. If your friend was a bal tshuva, you should not tell him, oh, remember your old ways, because you're causing him pain, you're embarrassing him. If somebody is suffering, he's being afflicted with suffering, achmana litzlan. Lo yomalai kedach sha'am chaver Iyov le'Iyov. You should not say in the same fashion that Iyov's friends said to Iyov, halo yerascha kislasecha, zecharna mihu naki avad. Oh, your yer shemayim that people thought that you had, or that you thought that you had, was really not yer shemayim. You didn't really believe it. You were just being silly about it. You weren't truly a Yerei Shemayim. And, you know, whoever is innocent doesn't get destroyed. Obviously, you must have something that's wrong with you. You're a Baal Aveira. That's something which you should not say to someone who's suffering, because we don't know the Cheshbonus, and now you're just causing him to be upset, perhaps without any cause whatsoever. If someone asks you if you know some type of information, some knowledge, don't go to somebody and say, hey, Reuven, what do you think the answer should be, when you know that Reuven has no clue what the answer is? You're just embarrassing him, putting him on the spot, and everyone's going to be looking towards him for the answer, and he's going to have to be embarrassed, either saying he doesn't know or saying the wrong answer, if you know that he's not capable of answering that question. Similarly to all these type of things, where they're causing pain in the heart. Just to add one more thing, that when we were talking about shopping, and you know, you don't have to say that you're going to buy for sure, but there has to be a chance. Some people sometimes ask. They used to have people that were selling these timeshare hotels, and they would invite you to a free vacation for a few days up to a condo share hotel, but you had to sit through a meeting where they would try to sell you a timeshare within that hotel. And most people who got it, who wanted to go take advantage of the free vacation, but they knew with certainty in their heart that they were never going to buy the timeshare. They were just going for the free vacation, and they knew no matter what would happen, they wouldn't buy it. So they wanted to know, can we go to such a thing in terms of this aspect, or since we know we're never going to buy, is that being unfair? Is that a similar type of Einoz Dvarim type of situation? And the answer is, you're allowed to go, because even if you would tell the salespeople, you know, I want to go, but there's no way I'm going to buy the timeshare, they still want you to come, because they know everybody who's coming is certain in their mind and clear in their mind that they're never going to buy the timeshare. They're just doing so, but they want them anyway, because they know there's a certain percentage of people that they can convert to be buyers. And even though everyone says they're not going to buy, that's certainly fine. They're not marked on that, and so therefore that wouldn't be an issue with what we just learned. Sif Gimel. Mi sheyesh lo shem kinu lignai. If somebody has a nickname which is meant to be derogatory, they call him Shorty or something like that, afa pishu ragil ba'isa kinui, even though he's already used to that nickname, and he's no longer embarrassed when someone calls him Shorty. It's like his second name already. He's used to it. If you're calling him Shorty with intent to embarrass him, not allowed to call him by that name, Mishum Einaz Dvarim, because that would be Einaz Dvarim. You're saying something to cause someone pain, even though in the end he's not really pained by it, but you're certainly trying to cause him pain because you're saying it in a derogatory fashion. However, if it's something that is not derogatory, it's just different than what he's normally called, but it's not something that's necessarily bad or derogatory, so then this would not apply to something like that. Sometimes people ask, let's say they have a friend, his name is Avram Moshe, and so they want to call him, they call him AM or something to that effect. If that's the name that he's used to, that's not derogatory, that's something that's certainly fine, even though it's a kinui, even though it's a nickname, but it's not one that's of a derogatory nature, and it wouldn't be violating the sisa. Sif Dalid. Also, lignoiv das abriyos. You're not allowed to fool other people. Pirish, meaning l'ramos bedvarim, to trick with your words. Af pishayim b'chisam mamon. Even though you're not fooling them out of money, but you're fooling their understanding. Afilu das nachri, even the mind of a nachri. V'lachein. Therefore, also limkol leibasa nevela b'cheses shuta. Not allowed to sell the nachri. Nevela meat that let's say the animal died on its own. It wasn't shechted. When he thinks that it was shechted, or the assumption is that it should be that it was shechted meat. If there's a situation where that is not as good as shechted meat, the vela meat is worse than shechted meat. Let's say when you're trying to make if they're going to use the leather to make shoes, so there's a difference between whether it was from a vela or for a shchuta. So that would be fooling him, and it's something that would not be allowed. Even though you're charging him the price, which is the correct price for the nevela, you're not charging him the shchuta price, which is higher. Still, it's still also because it's gnevas das, even though there's no gnevas mamon aspect. If he was selling something that has some type of mum, a blemish in it, even though you're selling it for the fair price, taking the mum, the blemish, into consideration, nevertheless, you have to inform the buyer about the mum. V'matana, but when you're giving someone a gift, then even if it has a little mum, if it's not something that's dangerous, there's no gnevas das you can give them. So let's say, for example, you have a store and you're selling alarm clocks, and the snooze button doesn't work, and this alarm clock with the snooze button should normally cost, let's say, $10. But with the snooze button function no longer working, say it has a value of only $9. So you're going to sell these clocks for $9. So even though there's no gnevas mamon, the person is getting something of value, for correct value. He's paying $9 and it's worth $9. But there's a mum, there's a blemish in it. Even though it's not a physical blemish, that's something that's scratched or dented, but it's not a fully functioning device as it's supposed to be, and therefore that's a mum. So therefore you have to tell the people and say that the alarm clock has the snooze button is not functioning. You'd have to hang up that sign by the store. The alarm clock's $9 on sale, snooze button does not function, or something to that effect. Same thing, let's say, and a mum is, again, like we said, not just a physical blemish, not just that something's broken. Let's say you have your store and you're selling sliced Munster cheese that's packaged. And normally that kind of cheese has an expiration date at least 6 months away. And now you got a great deal, and you're able to sell it at half the normal price because there's an expiration date that is only 2 weeks away. And so you hang up a big sign in your store, a sliced packaged Munster cheese for sale, half the normal price, great for this weekend's needs, and therefore people will want to buy that. So that again, that's not good. There's a mum. A looming expiration date that's not so often to be so quick, that's a mum, and that's something that you'd have to say, expires whatever the date is. And even though you said, well, I only wrote on the sign that it's good for this weekend's needs, that's not clearly informing the purchaser that there's a mum. That's something that's could be read several ways. You have to make it what you're saying has to clearly be made known to the buyer that he understands that there's a mum with the product. Let's say you're selling your 15-year-old car, and before you sell it, you took it to your mechanic, and your mechanic says, you know, it works today, but I'm telling you right now that the transmission and the radiator, they're not going to last another 5 years. So, you know, if you don't want to repair those things over the next few years, it would be a good idea for you to sell the car now. So you put up the car for sale, and someone comes, and he's looking at it, and you want to know what to tell them. So they have to tell them that the radiator and the transmission aren't going to last 5 years. And the answer is no, you don't have to say that. Why? Because no one expects a 15-year-old car to have a radiator and transmission that will surely last another 5 years. What's considered a mum? A mum is something that is, in the eyes of the public, is considered a shortfall, something that's wrong with it. But again, a 15-year-old car, the transmission is not guaranteed to last more than another 5 years, that's not a mum, that's par for the course. Now, sometimes people have a product or a house, and it has a lot of mum, a lot of blemishes, and they're afraid, you know, if they advertise the blemishes, well, you know, that's going to really prevent them from selling the item. So you don't have to, when you put up the sign for sale, let's say you're putting up in your local bulletin board, and you put up the sign for sale, you don't have to say all the deficiencies of the item. You could say you're selling the item, and then you could show the item to the person. However, before that he pays you, before the transaction's completed, you have to inform him of the mumin. It's not necessary, for these type of mumin most of the time to say it up front. Again, each case is a little bit different, and of course, should be discussed with one's rav. However, sometimes when a person doesn't even want to do that, and he's afraid that it just will scare people away, people ask sometimes, what happens if they offer the item for sale as is? So the house is for sale as is, or the car is for sale in as is condition. As is, the definition means even if it's worthless, that means you have to take it to your mechanic and do all your due diligence, because I'm telling you that this thing only has a guaranteed value of zero and not a dollar more. That's what as is means. So if something is advertised as is, or the seller tells the customer that I'm selling it as is, and he buys it, and then later on, a week later, the whole thing becomes worthless, the purchaser would not have a claim that he would win against the buyer, because against the seller, because the seller clearly mentioned that he's giving it as a zero value. However, if the person says, well, there might be a mum, I don't know, and there was a mum, then that would still be something which the seller would be obligated for. Would not release him saying perhaps there would be a mum. He has to clearly state that there's a mum, or clearly state that it's as is. That means that all mumin are being accepted as per the directions of this transfer. Sifhei. Should not ask your friend to come over and eat by you when you know that he's not going to come and eat. Meaning, you're fooling him, you really don't want to invite him. And you know he's going to be away this Purim. So you tell him, oh, would you like to come to me for the Purim Suda? And you would never invite him if he would take you up on it. You're just saying it only because you know that he won't be able to come, and now he'll owe you a taiva, because he'll think that, you know, you were a nice guy to him, and you made him an offer. He feels somewhat of a taiva obligation to you, so you can't do that. As well, you should not offer him a gift if you know that he won't accept the gift, and normally you wouldn't have offered him the gift. But because you know he's not going to accept it, that's why you offer it to him. So now he's going to feel some type of obligation of hakaras hatayv to you, which is really undeserved. Similarly, any other thing like this, shu echad b'peh v'echad b'lev, where you're one in the mouth and one in the heart. Your heart and your mouth are not in sync. Yara l'chaveru shu mechabdoi. You're trying to show your friend that you want to give him honor, but that's truly not what your full heart and understanding is. That's usr. Hey, tamid piv libay shavim. Should always have your heart and your mouth equalized. V'yinhoig b'sfas emes v'ruach nachayim v'leiv tarin. You should act with a true mouth and a proper spirit and a pure heart. Now, let's say you know someone's going to, you're making a bar mitzvah, and you know somebody's going to be, a certain relative is going to be away, and you really didn't want him to come, but you know he's not going to be able to come, so you're sending him an invitation. Is that a problem? The answer is no, it's not a problem, because you would have really sent him the invitation anyway, even if he would come. You're happy that he's not coming, but if you would have sent it to him anyway, it's certainly not a problem. Another heter that's brought in the Paiskin is if you're sending the invitation out of covered, or you're making the offer out of covered, and you want to make sure the guy's not going to be insulted, then that's okay. So, for example, let's say you have there's a group of five people who are very friendly. Actually, better yet, you have five people on the block who are your neighbors, and you're friendly with four of them and not with the fifth one. So you're inviting all four of them to the bar mitzvah, and the fifth one you weren't planning on inviting because you really don't have much to do with him. However, you know that perhaps he'll feel bad if everyone on the block was invited but himself. So therefore, you're going to invite that fifth person, not because you really want him to come, but because you don't want to insult him. Well, that's okay. Even if he can't come, and you know he can't come, but inviting him in this situation is fine because you're inviting him because you don't want to insult him, and that's truly what you're accomplishing. You're not insulting him. So you really are being mechabin him and doing something for him. So if he has some hakaras hatoiv that he feels to you because of that, it's truly deserved. It's not something that he's being fooled about and owing you false hakaras hatoiv. Kol tov.